If you ever tried to extract the nail that's been in a quarter of an inch or more, it's quite difficult to do, especially when you're a young kid. And what we'd do is we'd put tape around our fingers, and that would, because when you pull a tack, the head of it would cut. And after a while, your hands were calloused and strong, and you know, you didn't think anything of it. And you were pretty quick. You really moved those hands because you were getting paid by how much you you took down.
How many nails were in a?
It depended on the side of the size of the skin and the tacker, but they put enough in to stretch it. Mm-hmm. And then later on, of course, that evolved. They did pasting and toggling, and I never did either one of those. Mm-hmm. And actually, I never did the tacking aspect of it. I did in those days, after you take the leather off, they'd have the little nail holes around it, so you'd have a trimming knife and you'd trim. And occasionally, trim the wrong thing, but that was, again, OSHA would have a fit today.
Yeah.
Later on, we did that for a few years, helped out for a few years, and then I got a bunch of other jobs. And one of my uncles, my Uncle Leo, owned a tannery. When I got out of the service, I went to and worked with at Rex Leather, a big name in the city of Peabody, owned by the Regis family. Mm-hmm. And
that was over on Foster Street?
Foster Street, rear 119 Foster Street. Today it's where the cable, the new yep. PAT, is located. And I was there just last night on a dedication, and I mentioned that 40 years ago, I was in this same building, but doing a different...
Yeah, completely different.
And at Rex, being somewhat new to the industry in a sense that I was what they called a lumper. Just a different word for a gopher. Mm-hmm. You start off doing all the lowly tasks from cleaning to carrying leather to fetching and carrying. And over time, I did a bunch of different jobs. One of the jobs that I did do was worked in what they called the blue room. That was patent leather. And that was a terrible job. The smell and the preciseness and, you had to be very careful when you coated this. And the chemicals, you never knew what you were breathing at that time. Mm-hmm. And I also did some special work. They were just starting to do the iridescent leather, like patent leather, and they had some chemical process, and they had me doing that. I would put dust coating on the leather, and I'd spray it, and no masks. A certain age, you're going to be immortal, and you do what you have to. I also did just about everything in the finish end of it, from working in the finish rooms to helping spray leather to embossing to measuring to shipping. Again, a lumper. You did what you were told to do. And the only thing I didn't do in the finishing was color matching. I think I'm the only guy that has a problem making white or black because I can't make anything else in between. I was always amazed. They were kind of the elite, at least in Rex Leather, the color matches. And I always remember my first time being introduced to the color matches. I went upstairs to their room, and there was four or five of them, and they were all leaning on the 55-gallon drums. And I said, wow, this is the type of job. It's kind of like being an executive. if they may, and they did it a lot of time by eye. I was always amazed by how they could get certain shades. You know, later on, as I spent more time in the leather industry and progressed a little bit, you know, I'd see all the formulas and the samples that they would have, and on the back it would say, you know, mix three of these and seven of those. But I was always amazed how some of them could just eyeball it and be consistent. So it, and as you know, you've seen the different varieties and types of leather. Just amazed me. Mm-hmm. I certainly did not have that ability.
So did you